This is the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel, Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Ephesians. Now, here's Pastor Sandy in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 with the conclusion of his message entitled, Her Wedding Pictures.
I would imagine when you got married, you did so because you loved the person to whom you said I do. That's normally the case. But if you really understand what's at stake in a marriage, that's no longer your most important concern. You're now embroiled in something far greater than your own love and happiness. You see, God has first dibs on the meaning of marriage. All marriages belong to Him. And God wants your marriage to bring Him glory. Heaven has its eyes on you and your spouse and your marriage. Certainly, God wants a marriage to be full of love and happy times, but those times will become more frequent when holiness, not just happiness, is your goal. You see, there's a reason we once called it holy matrimony. Well, with the time I have left this morning, I want us to begin to focus on the role play between a husband and a wife. How each spouse should march and stay in step. For according to Ephesians chapter 5, a husband needs to act out Jesus' responsibilities to his church, whereas the wife portrays the church's duty and attitude toward Christ. In short, husbands should love their wives, and wives should respect their husbands. Today we're going to talk about the wife's role. And ladies, for no other reason than that's just what comes first in the text, okay? Next week, we'll speak to the husbands. Well, let's read again God's word to the wives, verse 22 through 24. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. As Christ is to the church, the husband is the head and savior of his wife. Put those two things together and it adds up to servant leadership. A head provides leadership and coordination. A servant rescues and enhances. This is a husband's role toward his wife. Whereas the wife is called on to submit to her husband's leadership. And the mere sound of that word, submit, causes some of you ladies to bristle up. You'd think I just uttered a four-letter word rather than a six. Wives, we got some work to do this morning. The Greek word translated submit is hupotasso. It means to arrange under. The wife arranges or orders her life around her husband's. She plays off his lead. It reminds me of Scottie Pippen. Any of you remember Scottie? He had a successful basketball career for the Chicago Bulls. He played with the greatest player of his era, Michael Jordan. And you see, that worked in Scottie's favor. For Jordan drew the double teams and he would pass to a wide open Pippen. Scottie got the rebounds when defenders left him to stop Jordan. Scottie Pippen became a superstar in his own right by letting Jordan be Jordan and playing off his lead. And this is what a submissive wife does. She lets her husband lead, and she tailors her game to complement his. You see, the Chicago Bulls won six NBA championships because Scottie Pippen was willing to reel it in and accept a subordinate role. He acted for the good of the team. If he had fought with Michael Jordan for control, the Bulls would have been a second-tier team. Rather, he embraced his role in a bigger mission. And this is the attitude of a godly wife. For the glory of God, for the good of your marriage, a godly wife submits. Submission is living sub or under the mission of God's plan for marriage. A godly wife sees the big picture. This is God's wedding portrait, and both she and her husband have a special role to play. This is what Paul means in verse 22 by adding a little caveat, as to the Lord. A godly wife sees submission to her husband as part of her obedience to Christ. Now, some domineering men, they misinterpret the phrase, as to the Lord, to mean that a wife should obey her husband to the same extent that she obeys Christ. But this is a wrong understanding. The Bible requires total submission to no one but Jesus. A wife's submission has its limits. If following her husband ever causes her to compromise her faith, she should obey Jesus, not her husband. In Acts chapter 5, when the Jewish Sanhedrin told Peter to stop preaching Christ, he told them, "We ought to obey God rather than men." There's always limits on our submission to human authority, whether it's a husband or an employer or a pastor or a government. Again, this phrase, as to the Lord, means that for a believing wife, submission to her husband is part of Christian discipleship. It's part of her discipleship. She follows Jesus by following her husband. She trusts the Lord to guide her spouse. See, I once read a Newsweek article. I'll never forget reading the article. It was entitled, "How to Stay Married." The reporter interviewed younger couples who were committed to marriage, and they wanted to make theirs last. But none of them had agreed on a structure that really worked. One couple was quoted as saying, "With both our parents, the father is king and the mother is subordinate. We want our relationship to be much more equal." But then the article added, "Neither of them has figured out how to translate that into reality." You see, here's the problem. Two heads sounds like a great idea until you try it in the arena of the day-to-day. Over time, it's an unworkable arrangement. Two heads are against nature. Hey, your body has one head, not two. Have you noticed? If it had two heads, you'd always be arguing with yourself. The same is true in marriage. In marriage, there's discussion, even debate. But ultimately, someone has to cast the deciding vote. And in God's portrait, that's the husband. I've heard it put this way. Marriage is like riding a horse. Only one person at a time can ride in the front. Certainly, none of this means that a wife can't have a life. Of course she can. She can pursue her own interests and concerns and ambitions. But submission means that she chooses to arrange her pursuits around her husband. Once Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, commented, "The best advice I can give to unmarried girls is to marry someone you don't mind adjusting to." God tailors the wife to fit the husband, not the husband to fit the wife. When it comes to most decisions at the Adams house, I solicit my wife's opinion. I'd be dumb not to. She's a wise woman. She has the gift of discernment. But Kathy and I have agreed that we want our marriage to paint a divine picture. And thus, she's cool with me having the ultimate call. I have that responsibility. At the Adams house, the buck stops with the buck. One day, God is going to hold me, not my wife, responsible for the overall direction of my family. Kathy's role is to support and submit, whereas my role is to love and to lead. This is a challenge for me. This is a comfort for her. Let me say, I'm sure you can conjure up other marital arrangements that work for a time. But God's plan is about more than what works. It's about the spiritual truths that He wants to convey through the institution of marriage. Remember, marriage is God's idea. It's not yours or mine. And God can arrange it however He pleases. Actually, what works may be the last consideration in a marriage. In most marriages, God's blueprint is probably the least rational or logical arrangement. For generally speaking, women are smarter than men. I'll never forget a quote from the former mayor of Ottawa, Canada. Charlotte Whitten was giving advice to young girls about the challenges that they would face if they pursued a career in politics. She observed, "Whatever women must do, they must do twice as well as men to be thought half as good." And then she added, "Luckily, this is not difficult." It's often true. The wife is smarter than her husband. And this is why Christian women struggle so with this concept of submission. They're tempted to take back the reins from their husbands, since it's so easy for them to do so. Usually the man is quite dense. A wife is quicker to figure it out and size it up. That's why she has to have patience and trust the Lord to grow her husband. This is part of her submission. Recently, I went down to the library to do some research, and I asked the librarian for the book, Man, the Superior Species. The librarian just laughed and pointed to the fiction section. I've heard it put, if you think men and women are equal, just watch a man try to wrap a Christmas present. Women have gifts that are secretly envied. It reminds me of the time after the fall of mankind when Adam and Eve, they had that argument, you know, it happened to them too. They got into a big argument. Adam shouted at Eve, how in the world could God make you so beautiful and yet so dumb at the same time? That's when Eve answered, God made me beautiful so you would marry me and dumb so I would marry you. And this is my point. Why should men lead and women follow? Well, in the end, my friend, there's really only one reason, and it's not as logical as it is biblical. The reason men need to lead and women should follow is because God said so. God said so. And God owns marriage. This is God's order for marriage and for the church. It's the role play that He wants conducted among us. Years ago, there was a billboard up on Highway 78 that advertised Virginia Slim cigarettes. A pretty woman was blocking the path of a young man. And the ad's caption read, "Who cares who wears the pants?" And every time I drove past that billboard, I screamed at the top of my lungs, God cares! Don't you get it? God cares! He has roles that He wants to be played. If you need more proof of this than Ephesians 5, read 1 Timothy 2 or 1 Corinthians 11 or 1 Peter 3. It's all over the Bible. If you're a Christian, your marriage should be God's wedding picture. At home and in the church, God uses gender to portray heavy, spiritual, eternal realities. We preach the gospel when husbands lead lovingly and when wives submit willingly. And folks, notice, ladies, your girlfriends will ask, why in the world do you submit to your husband? Suddenly, that becomes a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel in your relationship with Jesus. I'm not a big fan of these modern translations of the Bible that are all on the market today, but recently I did read a verse from the Amplified Version that intrigued me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 in the Amplified Bible tells us, however, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Wow! Did they leave anything out? Men, if you want to run down to the bookstore this afternoon and purchase a few copies, that's the Amplified Bible. Get them while they last. But let me just sum up the verse in a single word. Respect. Read again verse 33. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Wives need love while husbands need respect. Think about it. God knew before time began that He would order the family as He has. Thus, there's no surprise that He would wire the sexes accordingly. Since husbands are told to love their wives, it's interesting that wives need love from their husbands. They need their husband's love. And since wives are to submit to their husbands, it's no surprise that a husband's biggest need is his wife's respect. Notice here, Paul doesn't even tell the wives to love their husbands. A man feels your love, ladies, through your respect. In Dr. Laura Schlesinger's book, The Proper Care and Feeding of Husbands, she makes a big deal about a man's need for respect. She quotes a few callers into her radio show who focus on this point. A man named Dan writes, men need only appreciation, honest love, and respect. This will be repaid by laying the moon and stars at your feet for your pleasure. There is no need to work a man to get what you want. We live to take care of a wife, family, and home. Just remember that we are men and know that our needs are simple, but they're not to be ignored. A good man is hard to find, not hard to keep. Edgar says this, "There are a few things that men want so bad they would do anything for it. I think a good number of men want respect more than love." And here are comments from three female callers. Tammy makes this statement. "My father's advice when I married was, you are marrying a man. Always treat him like one, and he will always act like one." A woman named Wendy had this to say. "It is easy for a woman to love. That is the way God made her. It is more difficult for her to show respect." And finally, Jeanette. "I think men need respect, and the more respect they're shown, the more love they give in return." And I think all three of these women know a lot about men. Ladies, please realize the opposite of submission is competition. God created woman to complement her husband, not compete for control. Trust me, a battle of the sexes is not what your marriage needs. Here's a truth every woman needs to hear. When a wife declares war on her husband, he cannot win. If a wife wants to fight with her husband for the reins of the family, that man is destined to be miserable. He'll just cave in. He'll just give up. You see, men are taught from an early age not to fight with girls. The outcome is never, ever good for the guy. I mean, if the man hits her back, that's really bad, really, really bad. He sleeps on the couch, or he goes to jail, or she leaves with the kids, and he's stuck with some hefty alimony payments. Whereas if the husband caves in, he's not a real man. He feels castrated. He was beat up by a girl, and it's hard to live with yourself when that happens. For a time, a man may try to shout and scream and argue with a rebellious wife. But he's not as good with words as she is. He's certainly not as good with tears as she is. He just can't compete. And so here's what most guys do. They withdraw. They vacate. They go out and live in the garage for the most part. Or they hang out with their buddies. Or they work a lot of overtime. Or they take up golf. Or they buy season tickets. Or they just go fishing. They abandon the headship and leadership of their family. Hey, if a wife wants to lead, her husband will let her. Proverbs 19 verse 13 states, "The contentions of a wife are a continual dripping." Ever had a dripping faucet? It's not a pleasant sound. Quite frankly, it drives you nuts. Water torture is the way wartime armies interrogate their prisoners and pry out from them national secrets. Ladies, you don't want to be a dripping faucet. A competitive wife who undermines her husband's leadership is a form of torture. Proverbs 21 verse 19 puts it, "Better to dwell in the wilderness." I mean, total isolation is preferred than with a contentious and angry woman. Here's my point. Husbands can lovingly lead their wives just as Jesus leaves the church. But a wife can either undermine or undergird that leadership. I know Christian men who plaster a smile across their face and they mask a deep down hurt they feel inside. It's painful to be stripped of your manhood and be emotionally castrated day after day. To be taken for granted and disrespected and get treated like a boy instead of a man. And then the wife wonders why he's so distant. Come on, ladies. Once there was a new group of male applicants. They arrived in heaven. Peter kind of looked them over and he said, "All right, I want all the henpecked husbands over here on my left, and I want all the husbands who are bold leaders over here on my right." Well, the crowd began to shuffle and kind of rearrange themselves. And finally, every one of the men were on Peter's left, except one fellow standing there on the right. Well, Peter kind of looked him over. What a special guy. He demanded to know. He said, "You mean to tell me you're the only man in heaven who stood up and refused to be dominated by his wife?" The man answered him. He said, listen, buddy, please don't get mad at me. I'm just standing where my wife told me to stand. Ladies, got news for you. Men are real simple. I mean, caring for a husband is like operating a broom. This isn't complicated. Men are different from women. With the man, you don't have to throw a lot of switches. Men are predictable. This is not rocket science. Men thrive off their wife's respect. God calls a husband to lead. But if he's to be the leader that his wife really desires, he needs her respect. In fact, a wife can say she loves her husband all she wants, but he doesn't acknowledge her love. It doesn't really register with him until it's shown in the form of her respect. Wives, the way your husband measures love is not by your words or your mushiness, but do you show him respect? Do you appreciate what he does for you and the kids? Or do you always complain? Is it never enough? Do you value his efforts or do you ignore him? Do you chip away at his confidence with biting remarks? The late pastor, E.V. Hill, he struggled financially in the early days of his ministry. One night he came home to a dark house. He opened the door and he saw his wife, Jane. She had prepared a candlelight dinner for two. He thought, how nice. He went into the restroom to wash his hands, but he went to flip the switch. The lights wouldn't turn on. He flipped it several times. He finally walked back into the kitchen, and he asked his wife, why weren't the lights still on? His wife started to cry. She said, you work so hard. We're trying. But I just didn't have enough money to pay the bill this month. I didn't want to discourage you, so I thought we'd just eat by candles. Dr. Hill finishes the story. Jane could have said, I've never been in this situation before. I was reared in the home of a father who provided for his family, who never let his lights be cut off. She could have demoralized me. Instead, she said, somehow we'll get the lights back on, but tonight, let's eat by candles. Ladies, your part is to submit to your husband and show him respect, but that's an understating your role. It's bigger than that. Because of how God wires a husband, your respect has a powerful sway over that man, for better or for worse. You can lift him to amazing heights with your support, or you can tear him down with your disrespect. Oh, but my husband doesn't deserve my respect. He's made so many mistakes, and you're probably right. He probably deserves your respect about as much as you deserve the love of Jesus. In the end, a wife submits to her husband, not when he deserves it, but because God commands it. God is painting a picture. It's a wedding photo of Christ and his church. And he wants you and your spouse to pose for the picture. Husband, love your wife like Christ loves. And wife, respect and submit to your husband. Here's a final question. If little green Martians landed their flying saucer in your backyard and they came out and they approached your kids and they said, take me to your leader, would your kids take them to mom or to dad? And if your kids would get it wrong, or if they would just draw a blank and not really know, it means that the picture isn't being painted as clearly as it should be. Let's make sure the roles we're playing in our marriage are faithful to the picture that God wants drawn. Hey, does anybody see Jesus in the gospel in your marriage? Remember, we are God's wedding pictures.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, there's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.